This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Kenneth Walker is going to join us in about a half an hour. You will hear the Dabo Swinney interview from yesterday afternoon's off campus coming up as well. And again, my thanks to Brady Quinn from Fox who joined us in hour number one to break down Notre Dame and Clemson tomorrow night in South Bend. Should be a good one, Wes.
All right. So you have indicated, so did Brady a moment ago, that it is possible Notre Dame and Clemson tomorrow night are playing for the first of potentially two times over, what, the next 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
As the calendar falls. But there are also some other interested parties that might be available to participate in Charlotte. Now, they may have to have not only their own performance go well, but they may need some help along the way, right? There are technically kind of three contenders outside of Clemson and Notre Dame, and that would be Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and Miami. So let's go to the numbers, Pack, brought to you by our friends with the FBI, because I know you love this. Clemson, 95% chance. Notre Dame, 81. Then it drops off a touch. It slides off just a nudge, Pack, to Virginia Tech at 7, North Carolina at 6, and Miami at 5.9. And my immediate question is, what's the difference between North Carolina and Miami, and how did somebody get to 5.9 and not 6? But anyway, we move on, right? Of these three, and we're going to show you kind of some odds here in a minute, but of these three, Mark, who do you like to crash the party of Notre Dame Clemson?
I'm going to say North Carolina. I'm going to say North Carolina because you got to.
All right.
You're going to have to catch one of the two with a zero right now, right? And that's Clemson and Notre Dame.
Sure.
And by the way, let me just work backwards here. Not only is there a chance that Notre Dame and Clemson can play twice, it's not crazy to think they could play three times. I'll let you that's marinate right. on that a second. All right. But all right, let's get to your question. I'm going to say North Carolina, and the reason for it is I still love the offense, and they can score. And if they get any kind of defensive love, they're in business. And they get Notre Dame at home. They get Notre Dame at home.
Yeah.
And, of course, they got to go to Miami at the end of the year, and which will be a big deal. So the cool thing about the combinations of these three, Miami, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, is that they're going to have some matchups coming up here in the next 5 weeks where they will have a chance to dictate policy, right? Because the Hokies got Miami left. They've got Clemson left. North Carolina's got Notre Dame and Miami. Again, you do all the math and all this good stuff, you can figure this thing out. There's a reason those three, though, are far behind the two at the top. There's a reason for that. But if you're asking me, I've got to choose between Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and Miami, I'm going to take North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They've got the tiebreaker over the Hokies. They play Notre Dame, and they also play Miami. So I would lean North Carolina if I had to pick somebody other than the two big ones at the top.
All right. Let me turn to the Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill and give you the odds, okay? And you know, the Lumberjacks help us out on some of this sometimes. But here's the way this looks. Clemson's minus 650, Notre Dame's plus 500. Those are clearly the two favorites. Do you see where Carolina is in this? And I understand what you're saying, but on the odds, Carolina is plus 5K. Now, let me give you the quick rundown on all this, all right? If you're a Canes fan, you're rooting for Clemson tomorrow. Since you've already lost to the Tigers, and an Irish loss would move you into a tie for second, and you don't have to play Notre Dame this season. Like that logic?
Okay,
you're there on that one, right?
100%.
If you're a Carolina fan, Clemson, Notre Dame would have one in the loss column before you get a chance to play them on the 27th. And if you beat them on the 27th, they would have two, you would have two, because remember, this is incumbent upon you winning out, right?
And you have the tiebreaker.
Yep. If you're a Virginia Tech fan tomorrow night, you need to break out your Lindsey Nelson blazer and you need to get your Rudy jersey ready because you want Notre Dame to win.
Yep.
And here's why. Because you'll have your own shot on Clemson December the 5th.
Right.
Think about that. Oh, look at the air pack. Look at the Hokie percentages to win, courtesy of FPI. 91% tomorrow on the Flames, by the way.
Hard to believe a ranked team could be in front of Virginia Tech like that. 14-point dog. AP voters all over it, as usual.
How about 66 on Miami?
Well, we'll get to November 14th. The Canes have to get through Raleigh tonight. Again, there's a lot of football left to be played here. I mean, we could play the what-if game all day long. There is a lot of football, hopefully, to be played between now and December the 12th. But all these teams still have a chance. Miami, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, as they sit there and watch the two big boys get after it tomorrow night in South Bend. They all have a chance, but you've got to take care of your business. You know, another hiccup by any of those three, you're out. You're out. See ya. Catch ya. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it. You know, get ready for whatever bowl you're going to. You got to run the table. But all of five of those teams have a chance to get to Charlotte. All of them.
Can I just say that it is still very interesting, even when you take the division walls down, whether it be the ACC or any other league, that all the landscape change we've been through, different number of games, different way of playing them, all the stuff that goes into every Saturday that we talk about all on this show during the week, isn't it fun that it all still comes down to your team winning and then deciding who you need to lose? just like it does every fall in college football. In some ways, it's why the sport just continues to captivate a lot of people. Because even in this pandemic and all the upheaval we've gone through, Pac, here we are. We got three schools, and they got to pick sides tomorrow night of a ball game that their team's not even playing in, right? Assuming that their team continues to win, of course.
Well, I would also throw one other thing on you here. And, again, I know we gave you five teams, and I mentioned to Tom Luganville yesterday, the team that doesn't have a number beside their name that's playing the best football right now in the league, that's Wake Forest. And I'm just going to just tell you, and then we just broke down Virginia Tech and Miami and North Carolina, and you got all these odds from Caesars and Drew Brooks' basement and FPI and whoever, whatever that is. I still don't know what that is. But just take a look at what Wake Forest has left. You know, they've already beaten Virginia Tech, all right? Just keep in mind, they've already played Clemson. They've already beaten Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
They're going to see the Heels. They're going to see Miami. They're going to see Notre Dame. So I'm just saying, while we're sitting here trying to analyze all this stuff, which will always get me in trouble, the Swiss quietly causing no issues.
The Swiss.
Just going about their business. Everybody happy for Dave Clawson. Boy, they're really playing good football. And they are. Nobody wants to play the Swiss, and the ball's going to be in their court too. They've got a nasty, tough schedule, but they are playing terrific football. They are really well coached. They don't turn it over. They don't beat themselves. They always seemingly give themselves a chance to win. So do not dismiss Wake Forest. I know nobody wants to talk about it. That's why they're the Swiss. They're just over there quietly doing their thing, and they've had a really good year. People wake up, oh my goodness, what a great year for the Deacs. It's what they do. So just saying, they're going to have a chance to play everybody. So just grab your popcorn. These next 5 or 6 weeks should be a great deal of fun. I just, again, hope and pray that we can get the games in. You know, we had 5 or 6 games yesterday postponed or canceled with COVID. You know, here's the Pac-12 getting underway this week. UW and Cal, not happening. We know the issues at Wisconsin and the Big Ten. You know, COVID hadn't gone away. I keep telling you, they don't care. COVID does not care. So I just hope and pray that we can get these games in. I really do.
Can I just say that I am eagerly awaiting the person that's going to call this show and lose their mind over the fact that you have deemed Wake the Swiss?
I've did it for 20 years.
Or they call and I know that, but they call and they're upset because Wake has done something to damage their team, and now they're mad at Wake and not going to take it anymore.
I'm just telling you, Wake Forest, even when you are one of those teams and Wake Forest upsets you, all right, they're the only team in the league that you kind of get over it. I mean, if you're a fan, yeah, after a day or so, you're like, you know, good for Wake. You know, doggone, I can't believe we lost that game. Man, we could have been in great. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you lose to State or you lose to Clemson or North Carolina, it bothers you, man. You're mad for a month. Your Christmas gets ruined, right? I mean, Wake gets you, and you're like, doggone it, man. The Deacs, good for them, man. Those dudes, they play hard. Well-coached, always well-coached. That's why they're the Swiss.
I don't know.
Don't bother anybody.
Pack, wait. Our producer, Josh Macri, proud graduate of Syracuse University, right?
Right?
We've noted that on this program, have we not, in 254 shows now? Is that right? 254 today?
Today's 254.
Yeah. I'm going to say that last Saturday, after the loss, Josh was not good for Wake Forest. I'm going to say that after the loss, Josh was not good for Wake Forest. I'm just going to point that out.
But ask Macri. Okay? I guarantee Macri. Here's what I think Macri is going to say. I'm not bothered with Wake. I'm more concerned with us at Syracuse. I think that's where Macri goes. Again, it's not a Wake problem. It becomes a Syracuse problem last week. That's what I think he'll say.
Accurate.
Am I right?
100%.
Yeah, there you go. Like I said.
I didn't come away from that game last week saying, "Ah, oh, stupid Wake Forest." I came away saying, "We got to figure out what's going on in our own basement."
Exactly right. That doesn't surprise me. Like I said, that's what it happened. That's what happens.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks,
that's what
Josh.
Happens.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Hey, when the Hokies
next time I'll ask Lewis or Meg or Drew.
When the Hokies went to Winston-Salem, ranked 19th in the country. And Nick Anderson picks them off three times. They lose the game. They're inside the Wake 58 different times. They just can't figure out a way to score. At the end of the day, Hokie Nation was bummed out. Man, how in the world we get ranked in the top 20? We're in great shape. Team's playing well. We go to Winston-Salem. We lose the game. Hokie Nation, yeah, you were bummed out for like 24 hours. But then you realize, hey, you know what? We got to get better. It wasn't like that Wake Forest, you know, they didn't steal the election. No, they didn't steal no stinking election. They just won the game. They're well coached.
Come on. Come on, Pack. We've done so well this week. You've done so well.
They just win. The Deacs are the Swiss. They just go about their business, and everybody's happy for their success.
Oh, my God.
They're the only team in the league that falls in that category.
Right. I can't. John Curry's next visit is going to be electric. I can tell you that. It's going to be great.
It will be awesome. You know why? He is the leader of the Swiss.
Why?
He's the leader of the Swiss. Everything's good. Everything's good in Winston-Salem.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. Yesterday and every Thursday, Dabo Swinney jumps on board on Off Campus, which you can check out on ESPNU Radio, SiriusXM Channel 84. And I just let off the interview. Hey, last week, Halloween, BC, a little bit of a scare, boys. BC came ready to play some serious football.
Well, I mean, it was Halloween. It's supposed to be scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had plenty of tricks and treats going on, that's for sure. Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. I mean, that's one I'll never forget, that's for sure. I mean, the biggest comeback in the history of Death Valley. And, you know, just a lot of crazy things. First of all, BC is a good team. And they come right out. We're not used to getting down, and man, they scored open two drives, and you know they score first drive. We go right down the field and answer, which was great, and then they score again, and then we go right back down the field, and we're getting ready to tie it up 14-all, and then we fumble the ball on the goal line, and next thing you know, it goes 100 yards the other way.
Yep.
And instead of 14-all, you're 21-7, and then they scored again. Our team responded. We got a couple field goals, really moved the ball well the first half, but they made every play. I mean, they made some unbelievable plays, and we had two interceptions and didn't get either one because of penalties. And but we got to half and settled in, and you know, we come out and had 21 unanswered points and, you know, scored about every time we had it. So I was just really, really proud of how they hung in there.
You know, it's one thing watching the game on TV. It's one thing watching it from the stands. It's another thing when you get a chance to look somebody in the eyes. When you looked in the eyes of your freshman quarterback, who now gets a chance to be the starter and who finds himself down 18, what were those conversations like? I mean, did you get a sense, no panic, let's go to work? I mean, you tell me. What did you see?
Yeah, I saw exactly what I've seen in practice every day since he got here in January, just a lot of poise. You know, he is a very, very poised young player, great demeanor, great confidence. But the biggest thing is his preparation. And, you know, he's really prepared every week to be the starter. That's just kind of – that's the maturity that he has. So he's pretty special. He really is. And I was probably – in fact, when I was getting ready to call him to tell him that, hey, you're going to be starting in, you know, 48 hours, he just happened to be in the quarterback room. Tony, because I was told Tony first, and he said – I was going to call him. He said, well, I think he's down in the quarterback room. He's down there by himself, sitting in there watching tape, and he thinks he's the backup, you know, but that's why he was so prepared. So really proud of him. Glad he's had a full week this week to kind of know going in that hey, he's running out there first, and he'll be ready to go.
All right, that leads us obviously to Notre Dame, number one versus number four, according to the AP poll this week. On tape, with what you've seen of Notre Dame so far this season, what looks different to you versus when you saw them in person in the college football playoff in 2018?
Not much, to be honest with you. I mean, they're a little different personnel grouping wise offensively. They're built to run the ball. It's basically the same offensive line. These guys are all like graduates. They're a bunch of monsters in that OL. But they're built a little differently from a personnel standpoint offensively. They're a little more tight end oriented than maybe they were when we played them a couple years ago. But they do a great job, man. I mean, they've had a couple of these receivers that are starting to emerge. They got three really good backs. You know, Book is the same guy. I mean, he's just a better version of himself, you know, than he was 2 years ago. You know, very experienced, very smart, really understands what they're doing. He can run the football. In fact, they'll probably run him against us, I would imagine. And, you know, so just a complete team. And the same thing, you look over defensively, they're just some monsters over there. Great DNs, great inside guys, very talented at linebacker. They got a couple of freak show type guys at their nickel Sam and their safety position. They got great experienced guys at corner that can cover. You know, they don't have to pressure a lot because they're so good up front. So, I mean, this is a complete football team, and this is a very, very veteran football team. You know, so that's probably the biggest difference from a couple years ago. We were probably more like them from just a veteran standpoint. We had a lot of vets, especially on the defensive side. So, you know, but other than that, pretty much the same. Well coached, play hard, play physical. You know, they'll run the ball. They're going to challenge you on defense, you know. Not much different.
I mentioned Tim Bray was on with us this morning on a Packer and Durham, and I can't think of another person on the face of the earth that has a better relationship and knowledge of tradition, history, people, relationships than the schools of Notre Dame and Clemson than Tim Bray. I've put the entire civilized world behind him if I had to rank everybody. So I know this is a special game for him. And I mentioned to him today, I said, now listen, I know you're going up there. I saw Dabo's press conference earlier this week, and he talked about how you're excited. You're excited about going up there because you've never been there. So have you worked out some kind of arrangement where Bray can give you the quick 45-minute to one-hour tour? Because, I mean, there's a lot to see when you get up there to South Bend now.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to have an hour, but we are going in. We'll get there because it is a place we haven't been, so we'll – typically when we go somewhere we haven't been, we'll swing by the stadium. So we'll get there in time to go by the stadium, do a little walk around there. And then I think we'll have about 30, 40 minutes there before dinner. And Tim's going to ride me around a little bit. And, yeah, I'm excited to see Notre Dame. I mean, just as a college football person, you know, what a cool thing to be able to see and experience. And so, yeah, he's going to give me the nickel tour. And so I look forward to that for sure.
Yeah, no question about that. By the way, Trevor Lawrence, I know you talked about it a number of times this week. What kind of insight and input can he help with? I mean, how will that work? How do you think that'll work?
Yeah, I mean, he just basically just on the sideline like an injured player, if you will, can't play, but he's incredibly knowledgeable. And, you know, he's got a great mind for the game. He'll just be another set of eyes, you know, and hopefully just, you know, be a good encouragement guy to DJ as he makes his first road start.
Again, it's 1-4. I think Brian Kelly said the same thing early this week. He goes, hey, it's a big game, but it's not the end-all game, right? I mean, he just kind of feels that way. It's one of those that you circled. Everybody's talked about it from day one. But, hey, who's to say you guys don't hook up again in about 6 weeks for a belt, for a title on the line?
Yeah, well, if you make it the end-all game, you've got a short season, and you're going to get beat somewhere else. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year for us simply because it's the game we're playing. And I, you know, everybody's speak. No, it's not. That's just how we go about our business here. We don't prepare any different for this game than we did for, you know, any of the other games we've played. That's what has allowed us, I think, to be very consistent. You know, we never make it about the opponent. It's always about us, and we've always done that, and that has served us well. But obviously, we understand that in a game like this, your margin for error is a lot smaller. I mean, it's top five. You don't get many opportunities to play a game like this in the course of a season. You know, there's only five top five teams, so to have one on your schedule, it doesn't always work out that way. So it's a really cool thing to be a part of. We're excited about competing with them. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully we can get to 8-0. But, you know, we'd like to be 11-0, but you can't get 11-0 if you don't win 8. You know, so end of the day, hey, you're 8-0, you're 7-1, whatever happens here for either team, there's more football to be played. And especially this year, it's not like we can punch our ticket, you know, win the division, punch our ticket to Charlotte. You don't get to punch your ticket. We've got to go back to work. It's the best of one every single week. It's playoff football. And if that's not your mindset, then you're going to be inconsistent.
Yep, you're right about that. Listen, always a pleasure. Safe travels. Stay safe and healthy. And can't wait to watch Saturday. And we'll touch base next week.
All right, Pack. Appreciate you, man.
Dabo Swinney yesterday on Off Campus, and we always appreciate his time. And, hey, they're excited. Notre Dame's excited. As college football fans, we're excited. And it's great for the ACC to have a game of this magnitude, top five matchup. Yeah. As I mentioned, it's only the sixth time in conference history that you've had a top five matchup, first time ever involving a number one ranked team. And as I pointed out to you earlier today, Wes, of the five that have already been played, the last four, the lower-ranked team has won the game. So that's a great trend if you're a Notre Dame fan.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Right now, we're going to my city of Winston-Salem. And I just said, of all the teams in the ACC that don't have a number beside their name, nobody is playing better than Wake Forest. Nobody. Deacs are rolling.
Yep.
And Kenneth Walker joins us. First of all, we always appreciate the time. And congrats, man. You guys are really, really playing good football.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So what's the story, man? How did you flip the switch? And all of a sudden, man, the Deacs are on fire. Where did all this get started?
Start off from the summer. You know, we put in a lot of work to get to where we are right now.
Kenneth, it's interesting. You guys have, you and Christian in particular, and he was with us a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you guys have found a way to be quite the duo, to be honest with you. It seems somebody's going to have 100 every game that Wake plays. Three times this year it's been you, and of course you got 11 scores to go with it, which is one of the best numbers in FBS. What's the balance? What's that give and take like with you guys during the week leading up to a ball game? Because in doing one of your ball games and talking with Coach Ruggiero, I know it's just about kind of the way the ball game evolves each week, right?
All right. Balance between me and Christian. At practice, we compete, make each other better. You know, we're getting the younger guys ready too, so, yeah.
Kenneth, I'm going to go back to when the previous question and answer, where you said the summer. I'm not sure fans understand the commitment that has had to be made by all of you guys, and really every student athlete, not only within the ACC, but around the country, just to play. Forget about wins and losses and stats and all that stuff. It's like just the ability to play. Can you describe what it was like in the summer when you talked about this chemistry and what you guys have all had to go through just to stay healthy and safe and the protocols and basically, hey, I can't socialize being a college student, which is against the norm of everything you're supposed to do. How do you describe to a regular fan what all of you have been through since the summer?
I would say it was pretty rough. Yeah, we've never been through a time like this. And coming back to college, not being able to socialize, it was real different. We had to be disciplined. We had to stay in our own little bubble for the betterment of a team. Mm. And just being able to get the chance to play is a blessing, because at one point we didn't know if we were going to play or not for sure. But, yeah, it's a blessing to be able to get out there and put on those pads.
And what was the hardest thing in the summer, though? I mean, you know, I know you want to play. I know you want to go to practice. I know you want to hang with your buds. But what was the hardest thing in the middle of June when you said, you know what, I'm not sure if we're going to play or not, but, man, this is what we've got to do? What was the hardest thing?
Pretty much staying focused on our goals. Like practicing, like going hard every day, and we not knowing if we're going to play or not. Like, it was a sense of feeling like, how are we doing this for a reason? Or like, is it for no reason? But like, you just know you had to continue to go hard, because when you get the opportunity, you'll be ready.
Kenneth, you talk about, and I used the analogy this week and in doing ball games and kind of talking to coaches and even some players each week around the conference. Everybody's on the same page. They're all having to go through this pretty intense Monday through Friday of testing and staying safe and understanding, as you said, the bubble, in order to get to Saturday to do something you want to do. Is it take you closer to your teammates because you're all having to go through that kind of shared experience?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you come way closer, because we're in a bubble, so we're always around each other. So we pretty much all we got. We got to depend on this. You got to depend on him just as much as they depend on you. So, yeah, each person matters, because if one messes up, like, you can mess up the whole team.
There's a lot of hype this week with Notre Dame and Clemson. You've already seen the Tigers. There's a lot of people buzzing about who could get to Charlotte for an ACC championship game. In fact, we just went through a list. Clemson, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Miami, and nobody is whispering about your boys there in Winston-Salem. Now, do you guys like the fact that apparently the world is sleeping on the Deacs? Because you get a chance to see North Carolina. You're going to get a chance to see Miami, right? You're going to get a chance to see Notre Dame coming down the road here. So it's right in front of you. But do you like the fact that nobody seemingly is talking about Wake Forest, especially given how hot and how well you guys are playing?
Yes, I like the fact, because people tend to not include us in talks. So, like, but we ignore that. We cancel that out. We just work, and we'll be able to get the chance to show the world who we are.
Hey, there it is. That's the Swiss right there. That's the Swiss right there, West Durham. We let everybody be rocking and rolling and bragging and beating their chest, but we here at Wake Forest, we're just going to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to go to work, and we're going to go ahead and say, oh, you're surprised we won another game. Well, that's real cute. Guess what? We're showing up again next weekend to come play you. That is the Swiss right there. That's Wake Forest.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is why when number nine gets the rock in his hands, he can hit the home run to end the game. I saw it a couple of weeks ago against Virginia. Kenneth, the way you guys have played this year and kind of the continual ascent, if you will, of what you're doing offensively, a lot of that credit goes to you. A lot of it goes to Christian, certainly carrying the ball. I know Sam's had a nice year from a quarterback perspective, but the collaborative effort on offense, when Sage opted out, there were a lot of people concerned about where Wake Forest would get any kind of, you know, balance, run to throw. But that's not been a problem at all. Why do you think that is?
We've been coming together as a team. So we've been playing more as a team. And many people don't mention, like, you see me and Christian do well. You see the wide receivers. But people don't discuss how well the offensive line has been playing and giving us that time to, like, allow us to make those plays, like opening the holes for me or protecting the pocket for Sam and give them time to throw to our wide receivers. So, yeah. It's just that team effort that's bringing us together and making us, having us, allow us to win these games.
Hey, Kenneth, what can you tell us about this Nick Anderson dude, right? He picks off three against the Hokies. He gets the scholarship. I think, again, there's a smile on your face already. It's such a cool, feel-good story. Give us something on Nick. I mean, was there a story in the locker room? How about the next week? Because he's low-key. He's not looking for any exposure. But, man, it was such an awesome story.
Right. Nick's just a dog. He came in here since first time I seen him. Came in here and worked. He doesn't speak much. He doesn't talk much. And after that game, he went right back to work. Like, he didn't brag about it, none of that. He just went right back to work like he never did it.
How about that? And I suspect, though, that you guys fed off that, though, didn't you? I mean, because that's really kind of who you guys are. I mean, you guys aren't over there looking for any attention. You're just going to work.
Right, right.
All right, I want to get to a couple things here. One, you wear number nine on offense, and Boogie wears number nine on defense. What's been the discussion about the dueling number nines? I know you're younger than Boogie, so he obviously – but he's changed numbers, too, during the course of his career, I believe. So kind of how was that discussion handled with you guys about each wearing number nine? Because you both wear it well, by the way.
Thank you. There's really no discussion between me and him. We just feel like we call each other Nina brothers. Like, that's my brother on defense, and I'm his brother on offense.
Ah, that's good.
Wow.
I want to follow up on a couple
things. Both are playmakers, Pack.
No, there's no question. No doubt. Dave Clawson's had a good time with us on the show, and obviously he's a tremendous coach. But one of the things we like about Clawson is that he's a foodie. All right, and he can go down and he can break down some food. So I'm going to go and ask you now, has Clawson ever said, hey, boys, we're having a barbecue over at the house? You tell me, because he's got a great reputation when it comes to food.
Oh, well, my freshman year, I usually go to my position coach's house, and we eat over there. But since everything that happened with Rona, I've never been able to, like, see that side of him.
Oh, man. Now you're going to go to work this weekend and in the next week, and you're going to go up to coach and say, hey, coach, word's out, man. I mean, I'm telling you now, Kenneth, you got to tap into that before it's over with.
He knows.
Yeah. I'm going to need to discuss that.
Here's the thing, Kenneth. I think you operate from a point of power here, though, because you're from Arlington, Tennessee, which is basically a suburb of Memphis, right?
Right.
I mean, you're from the Memphis area. So yes, knowing what I know a little bit about Memphis, and I'm sure you're, you know, better qualified to handle this, you know, you could go Rendezvous, you could go to, yeah, you know, Johnny Witts. I mean, there are plenty of places now, but you could send into some of those secret boutique-type barbecue and rib places in Memphis, right?
Right.
Well, you got to find out.
So where would you send Coach Clawson? Where would you send him?
Well, you mentioned Rendezvous, so I'll probably send him to Rendezvous.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Kenneth. You got to find out from Coach if he likes that dry rub or that wet rub. And it's different. Dry, you know how it is. It's different. I mean, Rendezvous gives that dry rub. That's a whole different taste, whole different texture. So you got to understand. You got to play to your strength there and figure it out with Coach. But I'm just telling you now, You got something on him next time you see him, all right?
Right.
Just telling you.
I'm happy to talk to him about that.
Yes, sir.
Never even mentioned.
Yeah, you know, he kept that under wraps, but he is a foodie, so he'll be able to hook you up on that deal. All right, before we let you run, we ask every student-athlete that appears on this show, what has been the hardest course that you've had so far at Wake Forest?
Hardest course. I would say it'd be my business class. We went back home for everything, and then we ended up having to stay there and changed to online. That kind of threw me off. I was already having a hard time in it, and then it was just downhill from there.
Yeah, those online courses, man, it's tough. It's just not the same. I can totally understand on that one.
Yes, sir.
I will say this. There's one class you're not having a hard time with, and that's scoring touchdowns. You were making A-plus in scoring touchdowns, Kenneth Walker.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Stay well. Be safe, okay? Good luck to you. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Kenneth Walker III. One of the best touchdown scorers on the ground in all of FBS football pack. He and Christian Beal Smith, I know we talk about Javonte Williams, Michael Carter. We're going to see two combination backs on Saturday night at Notre Dame, Kyren Williams and Sebo Flemister. Chris Tyree also factors into that ground game too. But those two guys right there, and we talk about the three guys at NC State who will be a key factor tonight, the three guys at Miami has. These two guys right here, amazing how it works. One game, it's one guy. They both play. One typically develops the rhythm or the hot hand during the game, and Wake Forest just keeps being Wake Forest, right?
Well, I think Kenneth's interview is a perfect symbolic look at Wake Forest football. You know, low-key, matter of fact, get to work, not looking for any hype, not looking for any handouts, not cutting any corners. Yep. Doing it right. And Dave, like I said, Dave Clawson has done such a great job at Wake Forest, because I think one of the things that's made him successful, and this is why he's a perfect fit, is he understands what the academic achievement needs to be to have success in the classroom, and they're not cutting corners. So when he recruits, he is bringing in student athletes that can handle the workload. Wake's not cutting corners. And I think one of the things that separates this conference from everybody else is, yeah, you can go win championships and do all this stuff regardless of sport, but academically, you've got to get the work done. And this league does. And yep. So, to me, that interview is the perfect synopsis of Wake Forest football. Low-key, matter-of-fact, successful, not looking to brag. Everything just seems right in the world right now in Winston-Salem. They are doing a great job.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thanks again to Kenneth Walker, who just joined us from Wake Forest. Divine Diablo, what a name. Coming up 9:30, what a player. From my city.
Yeah.
All that's coming up 9:30, talking Hokies. All right, so all that's coming up. But right now, Wes, the
you
game
and
that
Divine Diablo going to get into like food and all sorts of Winston-Salem type things. We
Why
need
not?
To be ready for that, don't we?
Maybe I interview him doing food part two. See if he picks up on any Justin Fuente tendencies. No, I won't do that to him. All right, the game you have is Pitt and Florida State. We threw that number on you earlier this week, right? 38 years it's been since Pitt's rolled in the tally. And you got this one tomorrow.
Crazy. Well, and we got a little bit of news yesterday afternoon, courtesy of Pat Narduzzi, our friend, the coach of the Panthers, who Kenny Pickett practiced yesterday. And we don't know what the status will be today, and there really may not be another update until Saturday at kickoff, but Pickett's expected to make the trip. Pat Narduzzi said, you know, we'll just kind of see, but he was out there and that kind of thing, or else it'll be Joey Yellen's third straight start for the Panthers, the Arizona State transfer. According to Mark Whipple on our visit yesterday with staff prior to the broadcast tomorrow, Pack, Joey Yellen wanted to compete against Notre Dame, but early on it, and this goes back to what we saw in the Clemson game where Tony Elliott and that offensive staff did a really good job getting Uiagalelei comfortable, you know, short game, stuff like that, and then they kind of let it go as the game unfolded. Joey Yellen didn't get comfortable. either one way or the other. Not play call. It's not anybody's indirect responsibility. It's just a combination of things. And he never got comfortable against Notre Dame and missed some throws and maybe made some wrong reads of his own admission. So we'll see if Joey Yellen gets the call tomorrow or if Kenny Pickett is able to make a go of it. Now, would it help Pittsburgh, you know, coming off a bye week to maybe hold Kenny one more week? We'll see. Something that that is in the cards tomorrow at 4 o'clock when we join you from Tallahassee. I would say this, though, about the game. Pack, it feels to me the winner kind of keeps hope alive and the loser just kind of slides more, if you will. I mean, you wonder about November in this light with teams that have been through tough parts. And Louisville beat Florida State 2 weeks ago and commanded the game. Pittsburgh has lost four straight after winning three straight to start the year. You just kind of wonder at this juncture of the season kind of where mentally these teams are if it doesn't go their way this Saturday, I think.
I have no clue with what I'm going to see from either team tomorrow. None. Pitt has not lost five straight games since joining the ACC. Last time they had a five-game losing streak was way back in 06. October was a cruel month for Pat Narduzzi. Not only do they go 0-for, but maybe more importantly, the strength of this team is its defense, and they didn't get the job done. Just didn't get it done. And now you lose Paris Ford. Yeah. You got to take it on the road. Jordan Travis can go out there, run around, do his thing, try to create some offense. I don't know what to expect from either one of these teams, given what has transpired here down the stretch at the tail end of October. I hope they're motivated to play. Like I said, in this day and age of the pandemic, you're just luckier as all get out if you have the opportunity to play, and hopefully that mindset falls for both programs as they move into November. Chances of getting to Charlotte are zero. Both of them had huge expectations before the season started. So now you really find out what the character of your locker room is in games like this. Because, hey, you're not going to be in Charlotte. You're not going to a college football playoff. You're not going to win a conference championship. But now you find out what are we made of. And that's why the way the game's played tomorrow will be fascinating to me. Because I hope that we get two teams that want to compete and get after one another, because there's great athletes. There's Sunday dudes on the field tomorrow, right? Sunday dudes. So are you still ready for Saturday, or have you already checked out and worried about your Sunday? That's kind of what I want to see tomorrow from both Pittsburgh and Florida State.
Yeah. I think Matt Mercer of the Orlando Sentinel yesterday reported that both Tamarian Terry and Hamson Nasruldeen, Mark, we're on the practice field for Florida State this week, too. So we'll see kind of where that goes. Speaking of injuries and guys coming back from them, here's a thought, though, about this series. And again, we find ourselves in the schedule talk. These teams don't play very often. It's been 7 years since they played. 2013, it was Labor Day night. America met Jameis Winston the last time Florida State played Pittsburgh, by the way. It was at Heinz Field. Winston went 25 of 27 for 356 yards, four passing scores, and added one on the ground for fun, and introduced himself to the Heisman Trophy race on Labor Day night. It's been since Dan Marino that the Panthers have played in Tallahassee, Pack. Stunning. I don't care how you look at it, right?
I'll tell you what else is stunning to me, and this, again, why I want to watch this tomorrow, just to see what it looks like. Florida State defensively before the season started, Wes, you and I would both say, man, there's some dudes on that side ball, right? I mean, they got Sunday guys all over the place. When you now look at ACC statistics, and I don't want to go analytical on you, but I am going to put this in the real world. Florida State's defense. Okay. Florida State's defense is last in the ACC in giving up yards per game, sacks, yards per play. Last. 15 of 15. That's where you are. Look at these numbers. Florida State's defense. Now, if you'd have given me a stat in the middle of the summer, hey, they're going to struggle offensively. Okay, I'm buying that offensive line. Still not sure about Blackman. I get it. Defense. Look at those numbers. That is startling. And now you take on a Pitt team that has not been able to run the football. Again, if Kenny Pickett plays, that's an upgrade. I mean, their offense has really taken a dive bomb under Yellen. So I expect Florida State's defense tomorrow to step up and start making some plays. But those numbers are startling right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if it's whether it's Pickett, Yellen, tomorrow, you would think Pittsburgh wants to try and do something. I can tell you one thing Pittsburgh definitely wants to try and do, and something they've had a hard time doing, is run the ball. Whatever combination, either A.J. Davis or Vincent Davis, they got to find a way to run the ball tomorrow, or else you're going to give it to Jordan Travis. And by the way, Chubba Purdy played at the tail end of the ball game 2 weeks ago at Louisville. Maybe he's ready to be a factor in this year for Coach Norvell. But we'll see you at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Larisha Harris and Roddy Jones join me. By the way, stat for you. Would you care to wager the last time Pitt had a 100-yard rusher, Pac? I got one guy get 100 yards in a game.
Well, you know who's got the best chance? It's Jordan Travis.
Pittsburgh. When Pittsburgh had a 100-yard rush.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said tomorrow. Which guy? I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question.
Pittsburgh. The last time Pittsburgh had a 100-yard rusher in a game.
Oh, I misunderstood your question. I have no earthly idea. James Conner?
It's been more than a year.
Is it Conner?
No, not that far back. 500 years ago? Not that far back. A.J. Davis, October 18th of last year against Syracuse.
Well, one thing we talked about all season was if Pittsburgh was going to get back, right? We knew the defense was going to be really good.
Yep.
Can they figure out a way to consistently run the ball? They've not. That has been a fail so far this season. Unfortunately, the defense hasn't been great in the last month. So, again, I hate that Paris Ford is not going to be on the field tomorrow because he's my favorite, and I wish him the best. But I just want to see the want to from both of these teams tomorrow when they kick this thing off here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.